Secretary, would you call the roll, please?
I will. Regent Hale.
Here.
Regent Roddy.
Here.
Regent Secretary Dennison.
Here.
Regent Hammonds.
Here.
Regent Ham.
Here.
Chair Milliken.
Here.
Regent Nichols.
Here.
Regent Speller.
Present.
Vice Chair Thomas.
Here.
Chair West.
Here.
Regent Robinson.
Here.
We have 11 regents present representing the quorum.
Very good. The first item on our agenda for this morning is the nominating committee. And I'll call on Regent Brody to present the proposed slate of officers.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Again, I'd like to thank my fellow committee members, Regent Nichols and Regent Helm, for their help. And I'd like to present for approval the following: Regent Jan West for chair, Regent Doris Thomas, vice chair, Regent Dr. Melissa Dennison, secretary, and Susan Howard, executive vice president for strategy and operations and finance and treasurer.
Do we have any nominations from the floor? If not, I would entertain a motion that the slate of officers as proposed be elected by acclamation. Do I have such a motion?
So moved.
Have a motion. Have a second.
Second.
A motion has been made and second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Like sign. Motion carries.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I just wanted to say a couple of things. I'm very excited and very honored to serve as a chair. I first came to the Hill 42 years ago now. I was a freshman here, and you know, a lot has changed. There's been a lot of progress. It looks completely different, but everything that was special about Western is the same to me. The spirit is the same. All the things that make it unique are the same. And so that's a great testament to the university, and I really look forward to working with President Comboni, the leadership team, the board. We have a wonderful board, very talented, very collegial board, and you know, we have challenges as always, but I have faith in this board and the leadership to meet the challenges. We have a wonderful faculty, and the highlight of the meetings for me the last few years, or one of them, has been to hear from the faculty members about their research and their apps they've developed, the books they've written, and so I hope we continue that. And we're very happy to have Royce Robinson, our newest member. He's going to be a great representative for the students. We found that out yesterday in our retreat. He was wonderful. So he's going to be great, and I'm just ready to get to work. And first thing, I'm going to work on my gavel skills. Chair Milliken is very. I'm going to have to learn to hit it really hard. But it's an honor and a privilege, and I appreciate the confidence that the board has in me. Thank you.
Well, congratulations, Chair West. And before we move on, one of the great privileges I have as president is getting to work very closely with the chair of the board. And it is interesting because we spend an amount of time together that most folks don't understand. Regent Bale and I began this with our Wednesday afternoon telephone calls every week unless something has disturbed us, and that continued with Regent Higdon, then Regent Bale again, then Chair Milliken. And during the course of those Wednesday afternoons, you get to know a person and develop a friendship and a relationship. And Regent Milliken, I so appreciate both your service, your leadership, what you've done for this board, and it was a pleasure to spend Wednesday afternoons with you. And I will miss our chats. Chair West will get to know what those are like. But we have a special thank you, but Regent Milliken is not leaving us. He completed his 6 years of service, and we just got word that the governor has reappointed him for an additional 6 years of service. So, congratulations. And given that you served as chair, we thought it would probably be an appropriate gift symbolically to actually give you a chair. you want to come get a picture with the chair and me, or?
Yeah, man.
Thank you for all you've done. I appreciate it.
Hey.
Thank you for all you've done. I just want to say it has been my pleasure to serve as chairman of this board. And that pleasure is because of all of you. I cannot imagine a better group of people to work with than you, all of you. I appreciate your cooperation and all your help during my tenure, and I appreciate all you do for Western. That's what we're all about here, and it is obvious from your actions that you put Western first, and that's what it's all about. So thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Curry. Good to know again. We have some big shoes to fill over here. I do, so appreciate it very much.
You've got the gavel.
Our next item of business, we have the oath of office for our new regent. So if you want to join me, Frank. Face me and raise your right hand, please. Do you solemnly swear that you will support the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of the Commonwealth and be faithful and true to the Commonwealth of Kentucky so long as you continue a citizen thereof, and that you will faithfully execute to the best of your ability the office of member of the Board of Regents of Western Kentucky University according to law?
Yes, sir.
And do you further solemnly swear that since the adoption of the present Constitution, you, being a citizen of the state, have not fought a duel with deadly weapons within the state, nor out of it, nor have you sent or accepted a challenge to fight a duel with deadly weapons, nor have you acted as a second in carrying a challenge, nor aided or assisted any person thus offending? So help you God.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, congratulations, and we have this beautiful pen for you, and hopefully I can go. Congratulations.
Thank you, guys. If I could quickly say, this is such an honor. No words can describe it. If I haven't got a chance to introduce my family, I have my beautiful mom right here, Mom, Paula. She just had surgery, so forgive her for being in the wheelchair. I'm sure she'll tell you that. My awesome dad, Paul, so Paul and Paula, right? And my lovely sister in the back there, who graduated just a couple years ago, and I'm sure she'd be happy to tell you what she's been getting up to. But seriously, this is such an honor, and I won't take any more of your time. Thank you guys so much.
Happy. The next item of business is approval of the minutes from the second quarterly meeting, which is on June 6th. Does anybody have any changes or additions, any comments about the minutes? Hearing none, I will take a motion to approve the minutes from the second quarterly meeting.
So moved.
Second?
Second.
Okay. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Okay, the motion passes, the minutes are approved. And we have the next item on our agenda is the Academic Affairs Committee. And we are going to hear from Mr. Derek Kelly, who is the chair of the committee. We'll introduce our chair.
Thank you, Madam Chair. We have just six items today. We started the first item, approval of academic program suspension, literacy in post-secondary settings. Provost Fisher.
Yes, thank you for that. Looking to suspend
graduate certificate in literacy and secondary settings. And is there anything else we would like to say?
It's a function of low enrollment with, in conjunction with reflecting on our current education environment. The certificate no longer serves the purpose it did at the time of its inception, and it hasn't had a daily role since 2019.
Do I have a motion?
A motion.
Motion. Second?
Second.
Second. Any comment, questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes. Second item is approval of academic program suspension, college and career readiness. Provost Fisher.
Yes, I'd like to see if Dean Murphy would like to say something about that.
Good morning, by the way. So the college and career readiness certificate started in conjunction with the state effort around college and career readiness. It was aligned with state level standards with an effort to enhance our secondary colleagues in high schools to help. The motion across the state, the movement that was necessary, and the momentum never took hold. And so here we are. We are closing it. It is not relevant to anything that's happening in the schools right now, and we don't have any movement.
I have a motion.
A motion.
Second.
So moved. Motion made. Second.
Second.
Any questions, discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes. Third item is approval academic program suspension and interdisciplinary professionalism and status for the decision.
And we continue with Dean Murphy.
There have been no new enrollees in this program for a very, very long time, if ever, and so we're closing these programs.
I have a motion.
Motion.
Second.
Yes.
Any discussion, comments? Seeing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes. Fourth item is approval of artificial intelligence technology leader and certificate.
Yeah, I would say, I'm going to, before I let Dean Murphy talk again, is in this case, I think this is one of the most important things we do. Certificates that are built around artificial intelligence, which seems to be the hottest topic as we speak today. I was even in Spencer's this morning, and I was talking to a large number of people from the city, and they were asking about what we were doing and where we were headed and how we would handle it as the future came. And we're in the middle of trying to figure out how to put guidelines around it, not running away from it, but trying to figure out how to use it right and where you use it right and where you don't use it. And that's really important to have certificates, because I think lots of businesses and industries are in that same boat as we speak and we move in that direction. So would you like to add something, Dean Murphy?
I would just offer that, much like higher education, high schools are the apex of where we have to learn and we also have to teach. And so this certificate program, in addition to enhancing our AI footprint for the university and the community, is built on a train-the-trainer model, where our educators, who are already leaders in their school, will learn how to train their schools, their staff, on how to then ethically and efficiently use AI within the context of K-12 classrooms, but also in the readiness for non-post-secondary graduates who go on to trade and labor. So there's quite a bit of utility here, and the succession of leaders and train-the-trainer models are really important to the infrastructure.
Thank you, Dean Martin. I have a motion. Motion made. Second.
Second.
Second. Any comments or questions? Seeing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes. Move on to the fifth item, approval of emeritus appointment.
Yes, we have Dr. Kevin Smoltz, retired in December of 2024 after 22 years of service at WKU. Prior to that, he worked in business and industry and in higher education. He's been unanimously supported by the faculty for emeritus. He has done tons of things. He was in the engineering department, especially with students. If you look at his history, the highlights of his service include mentoring student projects, co-chairing the ASN student design competition, and leading the 2022 mechanical engineering ABET accreditation. If you don't know anything about ABET, ABET is a pain in the butt to try to get accreditation with, and it's been great that we continue to be that. That makes a huge difference in our engineering program. And in addition to that, since he's retired, he's still around. We see him all the time. He's on campus constantly, and especially with the students. He's with the students building the canoes and all the other things that go along with student engineering projects. So well-deserved emeritus status.
I have a motion.
So moved.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes. Move on to the sixth item. It's approval of required performance and productivity evaluations for faculty members and the president.
We are by HB 424 has a number of things that we have to meet as we try to meet that legislation. One of the ones that we have to meet is mandatory evaluations for the faculty and the president. In what they wrote, that has to occur on a four-year period. I handed you what we do, and what you saw is that we do annual evaluations. We do continuous every year until tenure, and then we do after tenure, we do post-tenure review, and it's done on an annual basis. And in association with the law, what it said is that the Board of Regents had to approve our evaluation process. So I gave you the evaluation process in this. I also included in that a summary of the requirements for this bill. I also included the bill. And lastly, when we talk about looking at performance of faculty, I handed you two specific, and I believe one of them was biology, of what they have to meet to be able to be tenured and continue to work. What are their performance and productivity expectations? So all of that was put in there to meet the spirit of the bill and to show you that it's not easy to get there. That there is lots and lots of requirements, and you are checked yearly as we move forward. So we certainly meet the spirit of the law. Any questions?
So for some clarity, I do think my department's in here as well. And as someone who was I've taught at multiple institutions, and all of them had annual evaluations, and I've been through this process far too many times to count.
Sure.
Just for clarity purposes, for everyone, there's nothing new in this.
No.
This is the process.
It's what we've been using forever.
And so even though the legislator has asked that we have this, we already have this process, so we're doing it much more rigorously than what they're requiring.
Yes.
So there's nothing new for the faculty, and again, we are going above and beyond here. And I can attest that there is quite a bit of materials that we've done to come here. About this before. Tenure review is rigorous and is granted, starts with the faculty and the department, and once you're done with that, there is this post-tenure review that still continues, where we are submitting everything about teaching, research, and service, and that includes developing courses. We're still expected to be active. So, the stereotype of a faculty member who's disengaged, disinterested, and not around, just not true at WK. They choose to be here, and we make sure of that. So that,
yes,
we're still meeting all everything as we've had before here.
Yeah, I mean, it's no change at all. It made it pretty easy. I just had to put it back together. It's exactly what we've been doing from the day I walked on campus, and the only change has been is that the departments who determine the criteria for tenure and for evaluation have gone through a process to update them, and that's where we are.
If we have changes, does that have to come back before the board? Or is it just this one time?
I think it would have to come back, the way I read it. But it's not changes in what the departments want to do. It would be a change in how we do the overall evaluation. And I don't see that coming anytime soon.
Chair Howe, Matt. And as a reminder to the board, for those who have not been through the process before, you all evaluate me annually. There is a survey that goes out and is returned and compiled by our folks internally, and then there's an annual conversation with the chair where we talk about opportunities for growth and what's going well, and it's quite a formative evaluation, so I'm thankful for it.
Any other questions or comments? Is there a motion?
Second.
Made a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes. Madam Chair, it concludes the business of the Academic Affairs.
No, we have one more information item. So, as we have moved and as we have revamped areas across campus to be what I would say is more responsive and with the ability to try to continue to grow enrollment, one of the things we have made or produced over the last year and a half has been academic program marketing. And I asked Morgan Gossett to be here today because I think if you hear how we're attacking that as we speak, there's been a huge change on this campus to try to touch students and to get them to understand. Yesterday we talked about perception of who we were was a question that was asked early on yesterday, and about how do we show ourselves to students, and I think we can show that today in this presentation. Morgan?
Thank you, Provost Fisher. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
As Provost Fisher mentioned, my name is Morgan Gossett, and I'm the Director of Academic Program Marketing here at WKU. First of all, thank you for letting me have a few minutes of your time this morning, and thank you for all that you do for our Hilltopper community. It does not go unnoticed, and we appreciate each and every one of you. But in an effort to be conscientious of your time, let me go ahead and get started. First and foremost, I want you to know that academic program marketing and enrollment marketing as a whole is not a one-size-fits-all matter here. Students, the ones that we are recruiting today, our prospective student market, they are ever-changing, as you all know, and it is no longer just the idea that we want to be personal with them, but it is the expectation that we personalize our outreach to these students. Gen Z especially lives in a world of algorithms where their entertainment is curated for them and they're seeing exactly what they want to see every time they unlock their phone. The same expectation is there whenever they are pursuing the college decision-making process. So we have to adapt to that. And that's what we're going to talk about a little bit today. There we go. So our unit actually sits at an intersection of three main pillars that we're going to talk about, and that is marketing, communications, and brand. Marketing is what actually gets those students into the door. We are putting it out in front of them, and they're going to take the first step. Communications is how we guide them through the process. Every student comes to us from a different place, and we have to get them to the final step, which is becoming a Hilltopper. And then finally, we have brand. And that is arguably some of the most important work that we do, because brand is what makes a student decide and believe that WKU is the place for them in pursuing higher education and securing the future that they want for themselves and their families. So, as you can imagine, this requires a little bit of proactive effort. So I wanted to take just a second and give you a tiny glimpse here at what our communication plan might look like from an enrollment marketing standpoint at the beginning of the year. We are looking for our enrollment marketing to meet the things that you see here on the left side. First of all, we want it to be driven by the enrollment funnel. From prospect to inquiry, inquiry to applicant, and applicant to enroll, we have to help students take each and every step. Sometimes we're gonna get a student on August 1st of their senior year to apply, and then we are going to see them again here the following August. And that's wonderful, but then sometimes we're not going to see a student until July, and then we're going to engage with them and get them here the very next month. We have to be adaptable in that way, and we have to take them each step of the way. We also want to be conscientious of personalization opportunities. So we are taking a lot of data in on these students, and the expectation is that as a student tells us something, that we remember it. So if they say that one of their college motivators is that they are interested in the overall college experience, they want to get involved in campus, they want to feel like they are part of something bigger than themselves, we're going to talk to them about that. If they tell us that they're interested in accounting, we're going to make sure that they feel that they already know what they need about the Gordon Ford College of Business, who's going to be leading their classrooms, and what their classmates are going to be involved in. And in the same way, though, we must be flexible throughout the recruitment cycle. Every day, things are changing. Higher ed is in flux. Motivations are changing from day to day in terms of what makes a student decide what their future is going to look like. And so we have to adapt to those changes. Fortunately, in our unit, we're using Slate, which is a prospective student CRM, customer relationship management software. We're able to store the data points that a student tells us. We're able to personalize their communication to include the data points that they've shared, and then also adapt very, very quickly. So it's ideal that we start the year and have everything prepped and planned, but we know that on day-to-day, we're going to have to adapt as the cycle needs us to. And in general, our market is changing. We can thank social media and the world of technology for some of the quick changes that we have to incorporate, but we are needing to make sure that we listen. And that's one of the things that perhaps has been the biggest change over time. And I'll provide an example. We recently initiated a text message campaign that went completely against all the market research that has been pushed out in regards to how to reach prospective students. They say you have to make sure that if you were to send a text message to a student, that I, Morgan Gossett, am talking to you specifically. But I thought, you know, I'm also seeing that these students are a little intimidated by personal one-on-one conversations sometimes. So we flipped the script, and although it was me sending the text message, took advantage of the data points that we have in the system, I made the message personal to the student, I still made it feel like they were talking to a bot. We said, on a scale of 1 to 10, how likely are you to do X? Depending upon that response would determine what I sent them next. And for the student group that we hadn't reached yet, their engagement skyrocketed. And so it's those adaptable approaches that we are able to take that really make a true difference. And then finally, we want it to be easily customizable for reporting. Because at the end of the day, what we're doing is not just creative, it's also measurable. I want to be able to know that every effort that we take, every action that we put forth, we can tell you exactly what the return on that was and how students responded to it. That also relates directly back to every other point I've made. Because if we are not achieving those previous bullet points, then we have to be able to change the way that we are talking to students. And then finally, know that all of this is in response to the student experience, right? We aren't doing this just to say that we did it, but we want to make sure that the student experience itself is what they are looking for. And so I'm going to give you a quick glimpse here at what a student might experience when they are looking for a program here at WKU. So I've zoomed in because I had a feeling this screen might be a little small, but ultimately, you are a high school student. You know that you want to stay in the state of Kentucky. You took an accounting class in high school, and you think that might be the right fit for you. So you hop on Google, and accounting programs in Kentucky. Based on SEO, search engine optimization, that our unit is doing, we're going to try to make sure that the very first link that you see at the top of that page is Western Kentucky University Accounting, and more specifically, accounting prospective student landing page. One of the components on this page is going to include why study accounting and why study accounting at WKU. In a society where higher education itself, the value, is brought into question, we have to make sure that students understand that not only do we have the program they want, but there is a reason why they should study that program and why they should study it here, why higher education is going to make a difference for them. And then from that point, they're going to also fill out an inquiry form on the page. If we know about the student, then most of that's going to pre-fill for them. But ultimately, they just need to tell us who they are and their preferred method of contact. At that point, we're also going to connect them with a faculty member. This is all automated, and we work with our communications coordinators within each college to make sure that we have the accurate depiction of the department at each level. And in that way, we're also making the WKU difference. Because if a student is looking for accounting in Kentucky, we want to make sure that they also understand why the program here at WKU is going to be different and a better fit for them than any other institution that may offer the same program. And a lot of times, our faculty is what makes that difference. So as we connect them with a faculty member, their department chair, right off the bat, we're able to make sure that they understand that they're more than a number in a classroom. They are a name, a student, and they will have those one-on-one connections. And then, admittedly, I'll tell you what this is here at the bottom of this email. It's a lot of code. so you might see some parentheses and some question marks and some exclamation points. I added that as a reference point because this email, while it is automated, while it has a general content structure for every student, there are intricacies within it that make sure that every message is just a little bit different. Like I said, we are taking note of what a student tells us. We're taking note of where the student is in the funnel, and then we're making sure that every single message is in alignment with what the student needs. So this one you'll see, throughout the message, it is telling the student what they want to know about accounting, telling them specifically about what they can expect with this department chair. It's also hitting on some of those college motivators that they might have told us about. And then at the end, we're driving home what the next step is that they need to take in order to become a Hilltopper. So this is all within one message for one student, and no two messages look alike. But it doesn't stop there. So ultimately, we are doing that level of intricacy on all of our messaging, but we're also seeking to establish consistency with our brand. We want it to be reiterative, and we want it to be eye-catching. So if we're telling a student to do something via text message, they're also getting it via email. They're also getting it in their mailbox as a postcard, and they're seeing it in IP targeting. So when it's time for a student to enroll to attend our Topper orientation program, we are making sure that this is at the forefront of their thinking and that they know what that next step is. Every student is going to come to us with different knowledge about the higher education process. As a regional comprehensive institution, we have a lot of first-generation students. They need this extra assistance throughout the process, and that's what we're seeking to give them. But the last thing I want to leave you with today is just this. Understand that we know that students are not going to take a prescriptive path. We are not expecting every student to get to us in the same way. And everything that we are doing, our strategy is built around being able to hold the hands of the students that need to get here, that are meant to be here, and also portray to them that WKU is the choice for them, the choice for students within our region as they seek to secure the future they want for themselves and for their families. So I'm going to stop there for today, and I'll open the floor for questions.
This is, you know, they just relate so much differently than we did. You know, so trying to comprehend this is hard for me and probably for most of us. But it sounds like this is a great thing, the right way to go about it. So thank you.
Absolutely. I appreciate it. They present something new to us every day.
And Morgan, so, I appreciate it too as well. I'm sorry. That for every acronym, you
I'm looking at Rush like.
That was pretty.
Thank you.
I mean, I would say it's made a huge difference for us. I mean, 3 years ago, we were struggling to figure out how to get to the students. What's the right way? How do we even evaluate what we did? We do this constantly. Morgan and I will talk. John Mark and I will talk. We're evaluating every day. Okay, we ran this. Did students open it? Did it mean anything to them? Did we get a response? If it doesn't, it goes that way and we try a different way, right? It's a constant trying to put us in front of them so that we become an option for the future. And you know, that's great for seniors, but we're back at juniors, and we're talking about back at sophomores, and you're almost doing it. Pretty soon we'll be in kindergarten, right? I mean, that's where we're really headed. And I think it's made a huge difference. And along with that, the difference is the branding. I always tell the story. I came on this campus the first day, walked to Potter Hall to see Susan, and I walked in, and there, what we had for branding was 27 different colors. And I thought, what the hell is our color? I mean, is it purple? I don't think it's purple, right? I mean, I knew what it was. And if you go anywhere now, it's what we are. And I will tell you, it's the right red, right? We don't make mistakes anymore. I mean, it's the six-digit red that we have lots of conversations about, right? That this has to be this color. And that's very important because they should see that red and know it's us. And know that and I think it makes a different image of the institution.
I pick up on that. It's so marketing academic programs is very different than marketing the institution. And faculty are tremendous at teaching and research and advising and all the things that we ask faculty to do. But sometimes they're not the best marketers or graphic designers, especially if they aren't in marketing or graphic design. But they like to control a lot of things, including the look, feel of their pieces. And so what we've managed to do, and Morgan and her group, is develop relationships with department chairs and faculty where they're comfortable ceding that control, because the return that comes to them is a piece or a process that represents them in a way that they're comfortable. And so that's actually the most important part of what we've done. I still occasionally see interesting things floating out there in the marketing space. I think I saw a bat for the folklore program one time. I'm like, why do we have a bat? And I still have not got an explanation for that. But we're getting more brand consistency every day, and folks know what the correct Pantone number is for red, so I'm also proud of that, too.
Yes.
Any other comments? Thank you for the presentation.
Thank you all. Great job.
Thank you, Provost. Thank you, Chair. I believe that now concludes.
Okay, thank you. And we've had a request. We're going to take a short break for about 10 minutes, come back about 9:45.